Good to be here this morning. What a great and glorious thing it is when we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and we can worship our Lord and Savior. It is a great thing to be a child of God. What a blessing it is. We can go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. We can sing these praises to His name and we can worship Him in spirit and truth as He would have us. It is a great thing that we have and we ought to be joyous because of these things. A child of God has a lot to be grateful for, a lot to smile about, a lot to be joyous about. And so, as we come together now, we're going to look into some more of God's Word to glean things from it, to help strengthen ourselves so that we realize what God would have us to do, so we can be that faithful and wise servant that He called us to be. This morning I want us to look at a parable. It's just been read for us, my brother Nathan. I appreciate that. We're going to be looking very closely here at the wedding feast, parable most call it, marriage feast. But this dinner here that was prepared here at this wedding, and the ones that were invited to it, there's a lot that we can learn from this parable. There's always much learning for us in Christ's parables. Christ spoke a lot in parables, taught a lot in these parables, and there's very, very good teachings here. This is from our great Lord and Savior who has taught these things to us, and we can get a lot from these parables. We're going to really dive into this parable here and learn things from it this morning. The parables here, these are earthly stories with heavenly meanings, most of us know. And the marriage feast here, from what I've studied, the marriage feast was very common in the East, and it was part of the tradition of the Eastern people to have this marriage feast when the wedding here was taking place. And so, to them, they understood this parable very well. They understood what the Lord was talking about, and He used this to describe the kingdom of heaven here. So we're going to look closely here at this marriage feast parable. We're going to look here at the meaning and the application of it. And I believe there's a lot that we can learn from this and things we need to realize ourselves how blessed we are to be invited. Let's look back into it here of the parable of Matthew chapter 22. If you're not already there, Matthew chapter 22. Let's look here at it real briefly. Then we're going to kind of go into discuss some of these things and then look a little more deeply into it. But here, in verse 1 there, chapter 22 of Matthew, Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son." So here we see this, comparing this to the kingdom of heaven. And he said, "This is likened to a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out servants to call those who were invited to the wedding." All right, so now he sent out servants to call those who were invited. They were already invited. He's calling them to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. They were invited, but they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted calf are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding." But they made light of it. So the second time they've been out by other servants, told them it's ready, all things are ready, come to the wedding. But they made light of it. It says there in verse 5. And they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding." So now he sends the servants out, go into the highways, invite all those that you see. So they're going out now. They went out into the highways, gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." So I want us to look at this. So this is where our Lord started out. Said this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. He said the kingdom of heaven is like unto this. And he's given us this parable as we have many to look into. But I want us to look into it now real closely. We can see here this king that starts out. It says this certain king there in verse 2 who arranged a marriage for his son. Well, this king here, we realize is God. This king here is God. We realize the son here is Christ. So, realizing this, we kind of go on to explain some of these other things. We realize that the king here is God. The son is Christ. And then we see the wedding invitation here. Those that were invited. This invitation, this inviting here is the gospel invitation to us today. This gospel invitation. And those that were first invited that he's going to spoke about were the Jews. And we're going to look at this more closely here. But those here that were first invited were the Jews. And God has arranged this wedding feast for His Son, Christ. And all those invited. Let me turn over real briefly to Revelation. Y'all keep your spot there. We're going to be turning back to Matthew 22 throughout our sermon. But you can mark that. But go on and turn back to Revelation 21. And let's see here. Discuss these things that we realize through God's Word, we can understand clearly what our Lord is teaching us here. In Revelation chapter 21, there verse 1 and 2, he says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So now here's what John here is seeing. He's writing this down for us here. What the Lord has allowed him to see. And John said he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So now, we need to realize, putting this parable together and understanding this heavenly meaning, that God has prepared this feast. He's prepared this wedding, if you will, as he's talking about here in this parable. And this invitation has been sent out. These invitations have been out. All things are ready, as we're going to see. But I want us to look at some things here, as we talked about. The first invitation here, as we talked about, as he says there in verse 3, he says, "And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come." We're going to look here closely here. They're the Jews. I think we all understand that this, the Jews were called first. And this first invitation here by this parable is referring to the Jews. And they were called, as we all know, they were called by the prophets before. They didn't realize these things, realizing that Christ would come. Then we realize, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 3. You see, they were warned by John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3 there, verses 1 through 10, it says, "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in a wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." They're warned by Christ Himself. Because they're in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. I'm just picking out a few verses here we can see. But the Jews were warned. The Jews was told. They were gave the invitation. Even by Christ Himself there in verses chapter 4 and 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Christ warned them. Christ preached these things to them. The apostles preached these things to them. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" This is where He sent them out. Sent them out for these who were invited. They were not to go to the Gentiles or the way of the, in the city of the Samaritans. They were going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Those who were already invited. "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" They were preaching these things, warning them, telling them about these things. The invitation, telling them that things are ready. Luke chapter 10. So we'll turn over to Luke chapter 10. We see the 70 that were sent out. "Much was done to tell them of this that was prepared for them." It was ready. The invitation was theirs. In Luke chapter 10. See there where the 70 were sent out. There in verse 1 it says, "And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Then He said to them, 'The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, I will return to you. It will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" The kingdom of God has come near to them. So as we see this parable we just read, in Matthew 22, He sent out His servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. He sent them out. But again, He says there in verse 4, "Again He sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.'" Let's look there in Acts. Acts chapter 1. Look at all what our Lord and Savior has did to call those who were invited. Acts chapter 1. We've done read some minutes. Acts chapter 1 there in verse 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" Let's look over there in Acts chapter 2. When this happened, as we just spoke about in Acts chapter 2 there in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Go there in verse 29 now. It's the things they were uttering to the people, were speaking to them. In verse 29, Peter speaks to them here. He says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." They were warned. They were told. They were sent out again, telling these things. All things are ready. Come to the feast. The ones who were first invited, that we just seen back in Matthew 22, what was their attitudes? They were invited. But yet, it says there first, they were not willing to come. So again, he sent out other servants. And he told them, tell those who are invited, he's got everything ready, come to the wedding. But there in verse 5, he says, but they made light of it. They made light of it. Look there. They made light of it and they went their ways. One went to his farm, another to his business. Then it says the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. Think about that. We all understand. We've seen what the apostles had to go through, what the ones who were sent out to warn them, they treated them spitefully. They beat them. They killed them. All because they was doing what God had them to do. They was going out, inviting those who were already invited. Inviting those. But yet, they took it and made light of it. There's a lot that we can learn from this. We're going to discuss. It talks about many called today. Think about it in our same aspect. Have this same attitude. We're going to talk about now this other invitation that was sent out. When they went into the roads, highways, inviting all they seen. But yet many today, I think, still have the same attitude that they had here. They make light of it. They make light of it. We'll talk about that a little bit more here in a minute. But some, even think about it in their things, some did not hate the invitation. They had the invitation, but yet they just kind of made light of it and they went their own way. They went on their way to their business. Some went to their farms. They just made light of the thing. They hated it. But then you had the ones who even hated it and they rejected them, beat them, and even killed them. Let's turn there to Acts chapter 5. There's many things we can look at in here to kind of tie all this together, but we're not going to look at all of these scriptures. But let's just look now. In Acts, verse 5 there, verse 40. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They beat them and commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. They hated it. They hated the invitation. They did not want it. They rejected it. And in that, they were blinded, and they were self-centered, and brethren, they were not worthy. They were not worthy of that invitation. Let's look there in Matthew chapter 22. Again there. It says there, but when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. When the king heard that they have done these things to his servants, they made light of it, they beat his servants, killed them, he is furious. And he sends out his armies and he destroyed those murderers and he burned up their city. Then he says this to his servants that the wedding is ready, but those who were invited, they were not worthy. We're not worthy to come. Think about it. Let's turn back to Matthew. Well, I'll tell you, turn over to Matthew 23 now. And let's look at something now. Kind of tie this in for us. Matthew 23 there in verse 37, y'all read along with me. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together. Excuse me. As a hen, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Sound familiar? He sent them to them, and he talks about them. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What happened? We know from secular history in AD 70 that Jerusalem was totally annihilated. It was burned up. The king sent armies against them. Our Lord, our God, destroyed Jerusalem because of this. They were not worthy. They rejected the invitation. They would not come. They would not hear. But now, something that we need to rejoice in. We all need to be rejoicing in. Verse 9. This was God's plan to begin with, but it was first went to the Jews. Their invitation was already sent. But praise be to God now. The king here, he says, therefore go into the highways as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So now they're going into the highways and they're inviting all that they found. Praise be to God now that the gospel now is to every creature. The invitation that we're speaking about is to all now. Praise God. But yet, are we worthy? Are we going to accept the invitation? Or do we make light of the situation? Let's look now at Matthew 28. We all know them. Talk about the Great Commission. Sent out now. Matthew 28. There in verse 19 and 20 says, go therefore make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Mark 16:15-16. Mark 16 there, verse 15 and 16, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we read on here and see verse 16 and 17 there. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It is now sent out into the highways. The invitation is now out to all. It is sent out first to the Jews, then they rejected it. They would not hear it. Many despised it. And now it is out to us. How are we going to accept the invitation? How are we going to accept the invitation that's been sent out to us? There in verse 10 we've seen, well actually before we go to that now, I kind of want to show how all nations want to tie in. Very interesting to me. There we see now in Acts chapter 10. We know it first went out to the Jews. But Acts chapter 10 there, this is where Peter sees that vision on top of the rooftop. And there in verse 9 starting, it says, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, extending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. And while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am him. I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day they entered Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted up him, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." He did not understand when he first seen the vision. Peter understands now. He cannot call no man common or unclean. The gospel invitation is to us all. The invitation is for us all. But it's up to us how we're going to accept it. It's up to us if we're going to have this joyous occasion realizing that the call has went out to us. The high calling of God has been sent to us. We are invited to come in. But will we accept it? Or will we make light of it? Brethren, what a great and glorious thing it is that we can go to this wedding feast. That we can go to, we can have the invitation, we've had the invitation out, but yet we have to accept it. We have to accept it. There in verse back to where we've been at, Matthew 22. And there in verse 10 where we left off. "So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests." So they went out to the highways, invited everyone they seen. There in verse 11, "But when the king came in to see guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless." They were invited. They had things to do. They had things they had to prepare for this wedding feast that they were inviting to. The hall was filled with many of them. And then we're told about when the king come in and seen one who did not have on his wedding garment. And he asked him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" Says he was speechless. he was speechless. Remember Revelations. I was looking at Revelations 19. Revelation 19, starting in verse 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you His servants, and those who fear Him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Don't let us miss this. "Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true sayings of God. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" Brethren, we are blessed. Think about that previous verse. "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Brethren, it is a blessed thing to be called to this marriage supper. But don't let us forget the parable. We have to be prepared. We have to have on the wedding garment. We don't need to make light of it. This is nothing to take light of. This is not something that we can just say, "Well, yes, that's good, but I've got other things to do." The Jews had other things to do. They made light of the situation. What about us? The invitation is now ours. The invitation is meant to all of us. We are invited. And it is a joyful thing. We are to leave here rejoicing that we have been invited. This is nothing that we should take lightly. But are we too busy to have time to accept this invitation? Are we just too busy, too wrapped up in our own lives that we're not going to accept it? We're going to make too light of the situation. Maybe we even hate it. There's a lot in the world who hate it. They don't even want it. "But many will not be worthy because they will not accept the gospel," the invitation. They will not accept it. And many on that day are not going to be worthy. They're not worthy now because they've not accepted it. The Jews were not worthy because they rejected it. Brethren, are we going to reject it? Do we turn from those things? Are we no longer had the righteous acts, no longer had that wedding garment on? Have we defiled that garment? Are we going to be speechless on that day? When our King comes in, our God comes in and sees us, but not the wedding garment on. Are we going to be left speechless? Brethren, I don't want to ever be in the situation where that man was with that wedding garment in the place with the rest of them and come in and he did not have his wedding garment. The man was left speechless. So what could he say? There will be no excuses on that day. There is no excuse we can come up with. "Well, Lord, I was too busy. I did not have time to go. I did not have time to go." Or, "Lord, I was not willing. I was not prepared. I did not know you was coming this soon." There's no excuses. We must be prepared. And we must realize how joyful this is. Our brethren, realizing that we have to go out into the world and invite them in. God has sent His invitation to them all. Let us invite those in who have not accepted that invitation. Let us go out into the world. Let us invite them. But let us not be that one who is not righteous and not prepared, who has turned from the holy commandments that was delivered to us and has counted those things unworthy. And we have trodden underfoot the Son of God. Because that's exactly what we do when we defile our garments and we turn from the things that God has given us and we go back to those things which we have went to. We're like a dog who turns back to his own vomit. We know how nasty that is. How nasty it is to be a dog when he throws up something and then he returns back to it to eat it again. That is what it looks like for a child of God. When he turns from those things that's been delivered to him and he turns to those things again. That's how nasty it is. Brethren, let us be prepared because it is a great and glorious day it will be and we get to go home with our Heavenly Father. But yet we must be prepared. We must not make light of the invitation that's been delivered to us. And yet, let us make sure that we're inviting others. We're telling them of this thing. We're telling them what great and glorious thing it is to be a child of God and that they can come to this invitation. The invitation is for all now, not just to the Jews. Brethren, I hope we give us all something to think about, but this should make us joyous. What a great thing it is that we are a child of God. We have something to be joyful about. We have something to praise God about. But yet, there may be some here who has not accepted that invitation, who has not obeyed the gospel. You have that opportunity now to do so. There's no better time than now. Maybe some here who's defiled their garments, who is not prepared for the wedding. You can come now. You can correct those things. Ask prayers of the saints so that we can all serve God as He would have us. Brethren, if we can help you on any way, we bid you come now as we stand and sing.